My name's Robin. I work as a wildlife photographer. My job takes me to various places, and I can hardly be in touch with my family. I grew up in Canada. My parents are still living there. I was very little when they sent me to live with my grandfather. I fell ill suddenly, and my grandpa took me over. Since then, I have never been to my childhood home. My parents often came to visit me. One summer, I decided to visit them. I took a month off from work and decided to spend some time with my parents and explore my birthplace in Canada. I called my mom and told her I'll be staying with them during this trip. My mom's voice lit up in joy. I could tell how excited she was just by her voice. I packed my bags and took a flight. My dad came to pick me up at the airport. Seeing him after a long time melted my heart. I hugged him and said,
"Oh, I missed you, Dad."
My dad smiled and said,
"I missed you too. Now come on, let's go. Your mom is waiting. She has all of your favorite dishes cooked."
We got inside the car, and the entire way we kept chatting. After 20 minutes of the drive, the car stopped in front of a tall residential building. I got down and looked at it for a while.
"God, this building is still the same," I said.
I was feeling nostalgic. Even though my childhood memories regarding this place are now in fragments, I was still awestruck. My dad patted my back and said,
"Welcome home, son."
I grabbed my backpack and entered the ground floor of the building. It was a long corridor. Our apartment is on the 8th floor. I was about to get inside the elevator when my eyes went to the numbering plate. A small, uncleared memory flashed in front of my eyes. I remembered pressing those buttons when I was a child. I loved playing inside the elevators so much. I looked around and realized this elevator had been renovated. I looked at the ceiling of the elevator. There was a small vent on it for air circulation. From that vent, the hollow elevator shaft was visible. For a moment, I felt a pair of eyes were watching me from there. The hair on the back of my neck stood up immediately.
"Come on, we're here,"
my dad told me. I saw we were standing on the 8th floor. My dad asked,
"Something wrong, Robin?"
"Sorry, it's nothing. I just got distracted,"
I replied. While coming out of the elevator, I looked up once again, but there wasn't anything.
"God, this hectic journey really got to me,"
I said to myself. After a cool, refreshing shower, I finally managed to clear out my mind. My mom made chicken, porridge, fried mushrooms, and my favorite cheesecake for dinner that night.
"It sure is good to be home, Mama,"
I said, with a big smile. We all sat down in the living room to chat. My dad was really funny. He started to bring all kinds of embarrassing childhood memories up. Everyone was laughing and having a good time. At around 11 p.m., we all went to bed. I was already tired and feeling very sleepy. As I laid down on my soft bed, deep sleep grabbed my eyes. At around 2 in the morning, I heard a weird sound in my room. It felt like someone was breathing heavily, sitting very close to me. I opened my eyes, and what I saw made my heart race like a wild horse. A face was leaning on me and breathing heavily. I could tell it was a little girl. Her long black hairs were floating in the air. All I could see was her wide eyes and that dark face. She was watching me while I slept all of this time. My voice got stuck. I wanted to scream, but I couldn't. The girl then came closer and said,
"How could you? How could you, Robbie?"
I shot up from my bed, panting and gasping for air. The sunlight coming from my window made me realize that it was morning. I wiped the drops of sweat from my face and uttered to myself,
"What the hell? That dream felt so real."
I didn't say anything to my mom or dad about this creepy dream. I freshened up and sat for breakfast. Casually, I asked,
"Hey, Mom, what did you used to call me when I was little?"
My mom replied,
"What kind of weird question is that, Robin? We all called you by your name."
I smiled awkwardly and said,
"No, I just thought if someone called me Robbie or not."
But before I could finish my sentence, I saw my mom's face changing color. She froze like a statue and said,
"Who told you that? Did anyone in the building call you Robbie?"
I looked at her with a confused face and said,
"No, but it means that someone used to call me Robbie, right?"
My dad suddenly looked at my mom and said,
"Don't you remember, Yasmin? I used to call him Robbie sometimes. My mom immediately smiled and said,
Oh, right. Yeah, I must just be getting old.
I felt the suppressed tension in the room. I didn't know why, but I was sure my parents were hiding something from me. After finishing my breakfast, I decided to go out and roam around. I got into the lift and my eyes went towards the elevator shaft, but I didn't see anything except the hollow place this time. That day, I roamed around the town. I saw my school and visited the kids' park. So many memories filled my heart with joy. At around 7:30 p.m., I went to a local pub to chill for some time. My mom called me in between and said,
Robin, when are you coming home?
I replied,
Hey, Mom. Yeah, I'm going to be a little late tonight, but don't wait up for me. I'll just have dinner at the pub here.
My mom replied,
Okay, sweetie. Well, listen, your dad and I were thinking about visiting my sister tomorrow. Your aunt is dying to meet you. We'll leave for their farmhouse tomorrow, okay?
Seems like a plan to me,
I said. I watched a football game in the pub and drank as many beers as possible. When I came home, I was stumbling.
Shit, man. I really am drunk,
I thought to myself. All I wanted then was to go to my room and sleep like a dead cat. I got inside the lift and pressed button 8. The lift started to go up. The number plate flashed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on. I was feeling suffocated and warm, so I took off my jacket and suddenly noticed the mirror on the lift's wall. The same girl from my dream last night was standing right beside me. The scariest thing was that I looked beside me, but there was no one inside the elevator except me. My skin crawled in terror.
Who are you? What do you want from me?
The girl looked at the elevator shaft and then said in the same painful voice,
How could you, Robbie? How could you?
She then opened her black, hollow mouth, and a demonic scream numbed my ear. Suddenly, a drop of blood fell on my forehead, and as I looked up, drops of blood started to pour from the elevator shaft. The entire elevator was splattered with blood. The elevator started to go up at full speed. It passed my floor and the numbers flashed. 8, 9, 10, 12, 13. 13th floor. I remembered. Susie. It was Susie. Oh my God. Susie and I were best friends. We used to run all over the apartment during afternoons and play together. One day, the elevator was out of order. We were playing hide-and-seek with the other kids in the apartment. Susie and I decided to hide above the elevator. I helped her climb up, and I went to go grab something to stand on so I could get up there as well. We had no idea that the maintenance guy was working in the basement on the elevator. As soon as he fixed it and pressed the button, the elevator went to the top floor at full speed. I remembered Susie's scream when she got crushed under the roof. All this time, she was telling me how could I leave her that day. My head started to throb in pain. I couldn't breathe. Eventually, I fainted on the floor. I was down with a high fever for 2 days. When I got a bit better, I confronted my parents. My mom cried a lot and said,
Robin, we sent you away so that you can keep this out of your vicious memory. Poor Susie.
She kept on sobbing. I visited Susie's grave the other day. Her family buried her in our local graveyard and moved to Australia. Tears rolled down my cheeks. I murmured softly,
Susie, I didn't leave you that day. I'm sorry I was late. I hope you rest in peace.
I'm a single mother. My boyfriend was a drug addict, and he died of an overdose a few months back. My daughter is 2 years old. I had to work 2 jobs to support my family, but going for night shifts while leaving my daughter home alone was impossible for me. So I moved back with my mother. I took a night job as a maintenance staff in an office building. Every evening after office hours, I had to go to each floor and take out the garbage from the washroom and cafeteria. I could work in a hassle-free, quiet ambiance. There was no one to drive me crazy or poke their nose into my work. It was a 10-story building, hence the elevator was an important tool of my work schedule. I carried the big dumpster using the elevator.
I stopped on each floor and emptied the dustbins on the dumpster. And finally, after getting rid of the daily waste in the basement incinerator, I was free to go home. The entire process took about 3 to 4 hours. The night job was perfect for me, as it was comparably less work with a good paycheck. The incident that I'm going to tell now happened recently, so excuse me if my words seem clumsy, because I'm still in shock. It was a Friday night. Generally, on Fridays, I have to do a thorough cleaning because the building remains closed on the weekends. The security guard Kevin was a 57-year-old man. He was a nice person. As I reached the entrance, I saw Kevin sitting behind the counter with the same friendly smile.
"You ready to enjoy the weekend, Anna?"
he said in a jovial tone.
"Of course, Kevin, but my weekend starts at 10 p.m. after I finish this cleaning here,"
I said. Kevin nodded his head and said,
"You're a good mother, Anna. How's our little angel doing?"
Kevin referred to my daughter as a little angel, which often put a smile on my face.
"She's doing well. Tomorrow I'm going to take her to the fair. She's excited, you know,"
I replied, while pressing the elevator button. Kevin smiled and said,
"That sounds like fun. Well, I'll see you at 10 again."
The elevator came down and I got inside with the dumpster, waving him goodbye. I started to arrange my cart. I was used to being alone in the empty building night after night. Never once I felt uncomfortable or scared in any way. The elevator door opened on the first floor. I came out and started to walk towards the washroom with my cart. I opened the washroom door and vacated the waste onto my bin. Time went on as I reached one floor after the other and collected the trash. When I finished with the fourth floor and pressed the elevator button to move on to the next one, something really weird happened. As soon as the lift door opened, a disgusting smell of burnt tobacco filled my nostrils. It felt like someone smoked in the elevator. I became surprised because there's no one in the entire building except myself and Kevin. And also, if someone had to use the elevator, they must get up from the ground floor, which will result in the sound of the elevator moving downstairs. I heard no such sounds. With my one button press, the elevator door opened in a wink. This clarifies that the elevator was standing on the fourth floor the entire time. The hair on the back of my neck stuck up. I looked around, and a feeling of fear grabbed me instantly. I said in a loud voice,
"Is anybody in here? Hello? Is someone here?"
I never realized before how silence could be absolutely terrifying. I stood there staring at the entire floor. There was no sound. I then thought it might be a trick that my mind was playing on me. I got inside the elevator and pressed floor number 5. While the elevator was going upstairs, I couldn't help but think about what just happened a few moments back. The elevator opened on the 5th floor, and I got busy again. I increased my speed because I don't know why, but I had this feeling of anxiety and just wanted to get off work as soon as possible. After 2 hours of hard labor, I managed to finish all the floors, and it was time to get down and leave for home. I switched off the washroom light on the 10th floor and started to walk towards the elevator. Suddenly, I felt like I was being followed. I turned around really quick and saw the long, empty corridor lying behind.
"Damn it! What the hell is wrong with your mind today, Anna?"
I said to myself. I then turned back and started to walk faster. The moment I reached the elevator and went to close the door, I heard a voice.
"Please, please help me. I can't take this pain anymore."
It was a man's voice. I could tell he was in terrible pain. I said,
"Who are you? Is everything all right?"
The man replied,
"Help me. I can't walk. My leg, it hurts."
I became confused about what to do. I came out and followed his voice.
"Where are you?"
The man replied,
"Right at this corner. Please, help me."
I realized the voice was coming to form at the end of the corridor. I walked, thinking that there was someone who needed my help. I was almost halfway when my cell phone rang. It was Kevin. I took the call and said,
"Kevin, I think there's someone stuck here. Can you..."
But before I could finish, I heard Kevin saying,
"Anna, listen to me carefully. You must come down. Leave everything and just hop back onto the elevator. The cops are going to be here soon."
"Why? What's wrong?" I said in a confused voice.
I just saw some creep walking on the 10th floor corridor with a bloody knife. I've called 911 and they think it's the same serial killer that escaped from the prison today. My heart dropped into my stomach. I almost screamed, saying, "What?" Just then, my eyes went to the end of the corridor. I saw a tall, bony guy standing there and watching me. His stare made my entrails scream in horror. I have never seen such a demonic face. His eyes were like a vulture, and I realized he was trying to lure me into his trap a few moments back. The man said,
"Hello there. I'm glad we finally met."
I screamed at the top of my lungs and ran towards the elevator. The man was chasing me like a hungry wolf, but before he could catch me, I bolted inside the elevator. I started pressing the button to close the elevator door. The man was running towards me. I knew if he caught me, the cops would find nothing but my dead body. I pressed the button repeatedly. All I wanted was the elevator door to close. The man was just a few inches away from the door when it began to close. The man stopped and said with a terrifying grin,
"I'll see you downstairs."
And then I saw him rush towards the emergency stairs. Now, the horror went to a horrifying level. The elevator started to go down. I was paranoid like hell because now the man would be waiting for me in front of the elevator door. In those few seconds, I could see my entire life flashing right in front of my eyes. I was sobbing and crying. I was sure I was going to die at the end of this serial killer as soon as the elevator hit the 9th floor. Suddenly, an idea came to mind. I pressed the stop button immediately, and the elevator stopped right before reaching the 9th floor. I thought, if I just wait for a few moments, the cops will be here in time, and this is probably the only way I can save my life. The elevator stood silently. There was no sound except from my madly beating heart. I tried to listen carefully to see if the man was still out there or not. I could tell from the ray of light that the bottom half of the elevator was already standing on the 9th floor. The security alarm went on, and I heard Kevin's voice in the microphone.
"Anna, just wait a few minutes more. The cops are almost here. Be tough. No matter what you do, do not come out of the elevator. I don't want to scare you, but the man is standing right in front of the elevator."
My head started to throb. I felt like I was going to faint on the floor out of fear. I screamed,
"Why are you doing this?"
The man on the other side replied,
"I'd like to feel your skin on me after I peel it off from your body with my sharp knife, Anna."
I screamed back, saying,
"I am not coming out of this elevator, and the cops are going to be here soon. Burn in hell, you freak!"
Suddenly, the elevator microphone buzzed again, and I heard Kevin's voice.
"The cops are going up, Anna. They'll be on the 9th floor soon. Don't worry, it'll all be over now."
Everything went quiet. No reply came from outside. I got close to the elevator door and leaned on it to hear if he was still out there or not. I tried to listen when suddenly a huge knife sprung in between the gap of the elevator door, almost slicing my feet. I got cut bad, but thank God it wasn't that severe.
"Looks like I missed this time, Anna, but I won't miss the next time. Just remember my words."
Then the man's running footsteps faded away. When the cops opened the elevator, they found me lying on the floor unconscious. They're still looking for the serial killer. This might not be the so-called horror story, but it's the scariest encounter of my life. I worked as a security guard in a shopping mall. Generally, the mall opened at 10 and closed at around 8 almost every day. Every night, I closed the mall at 9 p.m. sharp and returned home. Most hours of my work passed by sitting in front of my computer screen and watching the footage captured by the security cameras. I could see couples romancing, kids running around the mall, and people going up and down in the mall elevator. It was a busy Saturday evening. The crowd in the mall increased so much that we all had to come out and keep an eye on everyone to avoid any kind of ill behavior. At around 7:30, people started to leave for home. I finally got back to the security room and sat down. My coworker, Adam, said,
"Oh, what a hectic day. I told the manager not to put special offers on all the shops on the same day. People go crazy when they get discounts."
I laughed and said,
"Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. Hey, listen, I'm gonna head home early today. The keys are in the drawer. If you could just lock up at around 8, that'd be great, man. Awesome. Well, have a happy weekend. I'll see you Monday."
Adam left, and I started to arrange the footage in proper orders. Keeping the footage in perfect order is a crucial job. You never know what kind of crime or uncanny incident might lead to the cops making an arrest. At around 8 p.m., I got up and went to the top floor of the mall to check the door locks and shops. After making my complete round of the mall, I became sure that no one was here except for me. I went back to the security room and started to shut down the power system of each floor, one by one. The last step was to switch off the security cameras. As I went ahead to do so, my eyes got stuck on the screen. I saw a middle-sized petite woman standing inside the elevator. She was wearing a red dress. I couldn't see her face as she was facing her back at the camera. I pressed the microphone button for elevator announcements and said,
Ma'am? The mall's closed, ma'am. Please, if you could, just come out of the elevator. You can come tomorrow."
The woman didn't pay any attention to my announcements. She didn't even look at the camera once. She stood like that for a few seconds and started to behave weirdly. The elevator probably opened on the second floor. She peeked from the elevator as if someone was standing outside, but I could see the entire corridor of the second floor. It was completely empty. The woman looked at her left and then her right. She then came back inside the elevator. She then did a really creepy thing that freaked me out. She started to press all of the buttons of the elevator like a maniac. I tried to warn her by saying,
"Ma'am, if you don't come downstairs, I'm gonna have to go to the second floor and escort you out myself. Please don't make me do that. Just come downstairs."
This time, the woman looked at the camera, and what I saw ran a chilling shiver down my spine. She had no eyes. Her eyes were hollow, with no eyeballs in them. She then walked close to the camera and kept staring at it. I don't know what to say because what I was witnessing in front of my eyes spooked me like hell. Suddenly, the security camera started to malfunction. The image started to cut out and blur for no reason. These are newly installed cameras, so there was no valid reason for it to act in such a way. I pressed the microphone button again, saying,
"Ma'am, I am telling you for the last time."
But the sound got cut out too. The microphone stopped working. A coarse sound of wires crushing to each other surrounded the speakers. The elevator stopped at the top floor of the mall, which was the fourth floor. I saw the floor number flashing on the elevator screen. The footage was cutting on and off this whole time. As the elevator door opened, she looked at it and then again looked back at the camera and said in a whispering voice,
"The roof."
The camera stopped recording and the screen went black. I rushed towards the elevator and pressed the button. The elevator started to come down, which obviously pointed out that someone did go up on it. Before this woman, I was the last person to use the elevator. And I perfectly remember I came to the ground floor on it after making my usual rounds. The elevator door opened, and there was no one inside. I checked the entire mall once again. I even thought that she might have gone up to the roof. So, I took the stairs to the roof. But the roof door was already locked, and Adam had the key, so there was no way that she could get up there. This wasn't the weirdest incident, though. I went back and fixed the security camera, which I had no idea why it malfunctioned in the first place. I then went through the footage again, and I found out there was no trace of this mystery woman in any footage of the last hour. My phone rang and I saw it was my wife. I noticed it was 9 p.m. and realized that she must be worried about me. I took the call and said,
"Sorry, honey, I'm coming home now."
That entire night, I couldn't sleep, because nothing was making any sense to me. Who was that woman? Why did she tell me to go to the roof when it was locked in the first place? The next day I woke up late. I sat down at the dinner table when suddenly my phone rang.
"Hello?"
I said. A man with a serious voice replied.
"Hey, this is Officer Pratt from the local police department. Are you Matthew Scott?"
"Yes. What's the matter, officer?"
I said in a surprised tone.
"Can you come to the mall? We're running an inquiry here and we need all mall staff for the process."
The man then hung up the phone. Getting a call from the cops is not something everyone enjoys to start their day with. That being said, I went to the mall. I went inside and saw officers interrogating each and every mall worker. A tall officer came up to me.
"Are you Mr. Scott?"
Yes, sir.
I nervously responded. The officer then took out a small photograph and showed it to me.
"Do you know this girl?"
he said. My eyes widened in shock. It was the same girl from the elevator footage last night.
"Yeah, I saw her last night. She was behaving really odd. I don't know how she managed to sneak inside the mall after closing hours, and I even checked the entire floor. She must have left on her own, too. There was something really wrong with the way that she was behaving."
After I finished saying all of this, I noticed everyone around me looking at each other. Two more officers came towards me and said,
"Are you absolutely sure you saw her last night?"
I replied,
"Yeah, it was her. But why are you asking?"
Officer Pratt looked at me and said,
"Show me the elevator footage."
Awkwardly, I said,
"That's the weirdest part, officer. The camera started to malfunction on its own, and I checked the footage later, but she wasn't in any of them."
The officers exchanged a curious look among each other. Then, one of them said,
"This girl has been missing for a week now. Do you think we're stupid?"
Drops of sweat started to appear on my forehead. What the hell is going on here? Officer Pratt then said,
"Look, we have this information that the girl was last seen in the mall 1 week earlier. Show me the footage from last week."
I knew that I was becoming a suspect for revealing the incidents that I encountered last night. Without any more delay, I took them to the security room and gave them all the footage they asked for. Within 3 hours, the cops spotted her coming into the mall, getting into the elevator, and going to the fourth floor. The time showed 8 p.m. I was surprised to see her coming to the mall after the closing hours. Suddenly, I remembered Adam was in charge of that night. I told the cops how the girl told me to go to the roof last night, which I couldn't as Adam keeps the roof key. The officers looked at Adam and said,
"Give us the key to the roof."
Unexpectedly, Adam tried to run away. The cops arrested him and broke into the roof. After searching, the cops found the woman's body wrapped inside garbage bags and hidden under the water tank. Adam had apparently been cheating on his wife with this poor, innocent woman. She came to end things with him that night. She might have insulted him, which led to a fight between them. Things must have gotten out of hand, and Adam killed her by strangling her to death. He then hid her body on the roof to get away with the crime. Or he might have planned to get rid of the body when the time was right. Maybe he was planning to do that soon, which is why her haunting spirit came to inform me last night. Are ghosts real? I don't know, but I can assure you.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
That last night, I did see the same girl in the elevator who was laying dead for a week on the roof of this mall.